message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad to have this opportunity to fellowship with you around the Word of God and to bring a message about the wonderful grace of God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do, is to look into the Word of God and to see all the fantastic things that God has provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know what it is you hope for. What is it that you expect out of life, and what is it that you're longing for? That's a great question, though. What are you hoping for? What are you looking for? A lot of people are looking for retirement. A lot of people are looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Some folks are looking for forgiveness of sins. They're looking to go to heaven when they die. Some people are looking for the undertaker. I had some folks at my house recently, and a young lady, and she said she was hoping to get married one day. There are a lot of people with that kind of hope. But you know, in the Word of God, the Bible holds out a hope for the believer. Paul talks about it. He says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope, that hope that brings thrill to the heart, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the hope of the believer. That's what we hope for. We hope to see, and by the way, the word hope in the Bible is not a word that means I wish it would happen. No, it's a word that says my confident expectation is. This is what I expect confidently to happen. It's a hope that is steadfast and sure, enduring the passing of time, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. That's the key. You see, the reason that I can look forward to seeing God, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. The reason I can look forward to seeing our great God is because He's also our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that gave Himself for our sins. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He died for me. He died for you. And He didn't just die to show me how to live and die and do better and give me an example to lead me to God. No, He died as my payment for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ knew no sin. The Bible says that He was without sin, separate, undefiled, separate from sinners, and yet He died. Well, if the wages of sin is death, and He didn't have any sin, why did He die? Why, folks, it's real simple. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross and died at Calvary's cross, what was happening there is God Almighty took my sin and placed it on the body of and the soul of His Son there at Calvary, and He poured out His wrath against my sin. In other words, the wages of sin is death. I'm the sinner. I'm the one with the sin. I'm the one with the problem. He's holy. He's harmless. He has no sin. He has no reason to die. And so He comes and dies for my sin. If you can get those two verses connected in your mind, the wages of sin is death. Christ died for our sins. He died for us. What did He do? He died our death. You remember what He did when He hung on Calvary's cross? He hung there and He cried, my God, why dost Thou forsake me? You and I ought to cry that in hell for eternity, abandoned to the wrath of God. He cried there and He cried, I thirst. You and I ought to cry that in the flames of torment of the wrath of God for eternity. Like that rich man in Luke 16 that Christ tells about. He asked to have Lazarus, who he saw over comforted in Abraham's bosom, to come and dip his finger in a drop of water and put it on his tongue, for he was tormented in this flame. No. What Jesus Christ did at Calvary is God made Him to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, God Almighty today is forming the church, the body of Christ. He's forming a spiritual body of believers. When you and I trust what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary, God Almighty takes us and places us in His Son. It's as though God Almighty were out here looking down at humanity today, and He looks at us through Calvary, and when He looks at us through Calvary, He sees us in the merits of His Son. And when you are in Christ, and that's the key, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. The Bible says, in whom? In Christ, you've been made complete. You are complete in Him. You know, if you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings and you are complete in Christ, there isn't anything you need that you don't have because you got all that God has for you. There isn't anything you don't have because you're complete. You're thoroughly furnished. You got it all when you got in Christ. You see, that's what's so wonderful about God's grace. Grace, God's unmerited favor. Literally, grace is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of Christ. The Bible says, how shall he who spared not his own son... if he spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? If he didn't spare the Lord Jesus Christ but delivered him up to be the payment and sacrifice for our sin, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? See, that's why the issue today, God's grace, all that God can provide for you through the finished work of Christ, that's why it's faith that's the issue with God. Faith is the only thing you can do without doing anything. The Bible says to him that works, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to make it right. I'll have the ceremonial correctness, and I'll do. To him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Why? Well, he says if it's of grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more. You see, as soon as you put human efforts into it, it isn't grace. It isn't a gift. Now, you understand that. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know what a gift is? A gift is something that somebody gives you because they want you to have it, and it's free, and as soon as you try to pay for it, it isn't a gift anymore. In fact, it's insulting to try for you to try to pay for it when somebody wants to give you something. The gift of God is what? Eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and God Almighty raised Him from the dead and raised Him to be the author of eternal life to everyone that believes. And when you trust Him, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're baptized into Jesus Christ, and in Christ, everything that belongs to Him, everything He did, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His session at the Father's right hand is ours. We're dead with Him. We're crucified with Him. We're buried with Him. We're raised with Him. We're seated together with Him. And one day Jesus Christ is going to come back. And here's what we want to talk about. Our hope. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back and take the church, the body of Christ, out to be with Him. And we're going to, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Go out into the heavenly places and be with Him. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. He says, in the heavenly places. That is, God Almighty is forming a body of believers today, a spiritual body of believers made up of Jew and Gentile, bond or free. Our social difference, our racial differences, our national differences, our economic difference, our standings, all the things that men look at don't make any difference with God. All that counts with God is that we've just come as hopeless, helpless sinners and trusted His Son. And when we've done that, God blessed us with all of His blessings in Christ and is going to use us in the heavenly places. See, He's making a spiritual body of believers in here today that He's going to use in the heavenly places out here in the ages to come to bring forth glory and honor unto Himself. We're a heavenly people. Our hope isn't in this world. Our hope is the Lord, His glorious appearing, and our going to be with Him. Now, that hope is important to understand. Because that isn't the only hope in the Bible. There are some people in the Bible that had a different kind of hope. Come with me to Acts. Hold on to, I didn't tell you, but get 1 Thessalonians 4. And come with me to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 verse number 18. In Acts 3 verse 18, the Apostle Peter And this will be Christ ascends into heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit back in the day of Pentecost right in here. And in Acts chapter 3, speaking to the nation Israel, Peter says, "But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled." In other words, Christ has died here just like the prophet said he would. "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he'll send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, until the time of restitution of all things spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets." The prophets back here in time past had a hope. The nation Israel back there in time past had a hope. Their hope looked forward out there into the future to a kingdom that God would establish in this earth. He was going to send their Redeemer back, redeem them from their iniquities and their sins, deliver them from the wrath of Almighty God against the unbelievers, and establish them in a kingdom, restore all things back to them, give them the blessings that He had promised to them, and so on. And that has to do with Christ, who's in heaven as an exile. Acts 2, Peter says that Jesus says to him, God the Father says to his Son, "Come and sit thou at my right hand up here in the heavenly places until I make your enemies your footstool, till the time for you to come back over here and destroy your enemies and set up your kingdom." That's why verse 20 says, "If they repent, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before is preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution," until the time for him to come back. You see, down here in this program, the whole issue is the earth. The whole issue in here is Jesus Christ coming back to the earth and setting up a kingdom in the earth, and the apostles reigning and ruling in the earth with him. He says, "Thou call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He'll be their Redeemer, Matthew chapter 1. Then the next verse says that, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son," talking about Christ, "and he shall be called Emmanuel," which is God with us. Jesus Christ comes, he's their Redeemer. He comes and redeems them from their sins. He comes over here, blots out their iniquity, and then reigns with them, rules with them, dwells with them in the earth as Emmanuel. But you see, God had another purpose. That's the purpose of prophecy. That's what you, when you hear about all these prophecy events and all the things coming on the earth and the tribulation and the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, and all the Old Testament prophets, that's the prophetic program. That's what these men back here talked about. They saw it. They knew about the Antichrist that would come. They knew about the tribulation period. They knew about the 7th week of Daniel, about Christ coming back and destroying them and setting up his kingdom in the earth. They knew about the nation Israel becoming in that day the head of the nations and no longer the tail and so forth. They knew all about the crisis in the Middle East and all of those things. Listen, folks, they understood about that. They wrote it down back here in the Word of God, and it's all involved in that thing. And it all focuses on the earth. And when it focuses on the earth, it focuses on Palestine. It focuses on the Middle East. It focuses on the land of Israel. And listen, God Almighty owns that ground over there, and He's given the deed to that ground to the seed of Abraham, and He's prophesied and promised that they would have it. And He has a program worked out whereby He's going to accomplish that. You say, "Well, why don't they have it today?" God hadn't given it back to them. The people that are over there in it now, none of them think much of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the people that it doesn't belong to over there today are the ones that really are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the reason that he isn't executing that program is that He set that nation of Israel aside. He set that program aside, and He's introduced a new program in here called the mystery. Today, God Almighty isn't trying to reclaim real estate. Today, God is forming a church, the body of Christ, a spiritual body of believers. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me, how that by revelation, Christ, He's up here in heaven, no longer on the earth, but from His heavenly position, made known to me the mystery. And Jesus Christ reveals through the Apostle Paul a new system, a new program. He's that other apostle with a new dispensation, and a new program, and a new message in here, and a new agency. Israel is God's agents in time past. They'll be His agents in the ages to come to restore the earth under His authority. But God has set that nation and that purpose aside today, temporarily, not eternally. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I mean, today they're enemies for the gospel's sake, but they're beloved for the Father's sake. God will keep His word. I mean, God Almighty isn't going to tell Abraham He's going to give him some ground and then give it to you and not give it to Abraham. So that stuff won't work. The reason Abraham hadn't got it, the reason he died not having received the promise, is that God had some other things to do first. And Israel hasn't gotten it yet simply because God's doing something else. But when He gets through with the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace, He's going to give them their promise. He's going to fulfill His promises to them. Now you and I aren't in that program over there. We're in this program. And when you understand that there's a difference between the body of Christ and God's purpose for the nation Israel, there are two distinct agencies, two distinct vehicles through whom God executes two different purposes, then you can understand the difference between our hope and what it is we're looking forward to and what they're looking forward to. And you can understand how that all this stuff about the tribulation period and about the Antichrist and about war in the Middle East and about who is the Antichrist and all the rest of that stuff is something that doesn't affect you, because that's not where you're going to be. If you're a saved person today, if you're a member of the Church of the Body of Christ, you're not going to get into that. You're in here, and this goes out before that starts. Now, if you're not saved, see, and this thing in here, the body of Christ ends, the rapture comes and we go out and you go into that tribulation period. Why? You say, well, what'll happen if I miss the rapture? Well, I tell you one thing, I got a friend, he's got a track. It says, what to do if you miss the rapture? That is, what to do if the body of Christ, the dispensation of grace is over and you're still unsaved and you find yourself in the tribulation. Well, the first thing he said to do, and I like this one, he said, don't get excited. I mean, you were going to hell anyway. If it don't bother you today, why is it going to bother you over there? See? Somebody said, well, you know, no, I know. No, nobody wants to die and go to hell. Nobody in the right mind, you know, wants the wrath of God to fall on them. But the point is, what you need to do is be concerned about it now. Well, when you trust Christ as your Savior, God gives you a hope. I want you to see that hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Our hope is not Jesus Christ coming back down here to this planet and reigning and ruling with us and delivering us from the tribulation of the Antichrist. Our hope is us going out there to be with Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13. For I would not, brethren, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I heard a man say one time that ignorant brethren, that's the world's largest denomination. And sometime I've been preaching 25, 26 years, and sometime I'm inclined to agree with that brother. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Don't be that way. Your Christian life won't operate on the basis of ignorance. You have to understand what God's doing. You have to understand the purpose and the program of God and where you stand in it. My friend, if you can understand what God's doing, that's the key to your life. If you understand what God's doing, you can do the will of God. People say, I want to do what God wants me to do. Then know what God's doing. Figure out in the Word of God what He's doing, then go do that. If you know what God's doing, and you do what He says in His Word He's doing, you know what you'll be doing? You'll be doing the will of God. I mean, it's not some hokey-pokey, mysterious, domino-key thing out there you can't figure out. He writes it down for you in the Bible. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I draw this chart just about every week on this program. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ to the nation Israel. The book of Acts, you see the fall of Israel, salvation going to the Gentiles, Romans through Philemon in your Bible. Get a King James Bible and study Romans to Philemon. You find out what he's doing today. Hebrews through Revelation, focus on the ages to come. Hey, folks, it isn't that hard. I mean, if I can get it, you can get it. And you take what God says about what He's doing today, believe that God knows more about what He's doing than you do, or the preacher does, or anybody else, and go do what God's doing, and you'll be doing the will of God. You say, is it that simple? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the key to it, is that it's God's will. And we just agree with God and do what He's doing. Now, one day, God's going to complete the body of Christ. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about that. I want you to understand this. Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe that Christ died for our sins and was buried and raised again, even so, them which sleep in Jesus, our loved ones that die, He's going to bring with them. Listen, you got somebody, a loved one in Christ that died. You know, you hear people say, well, I want to be alive when the Lord comes. I want to be in the rapture generation. Every member of the body of Christ is going to be in the rapture, folks. I mean, let's don't kind of get, you know, get sentimental about, oh, I want to be alive when Jesus comes. Well, I don't know about that. Look at what it says. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. If you're alive, you're not going to stop these guys that are dead. They're going to come up. For the dead in Christ shall rise what? First. You know something? My dad went to be with the Lord. My mom went to be with the Lord. We took them out to the cemetery, put them to bed with a shovel, threw dirt in their face the last time. Their soul went to be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. When Jesus Christ comes back to get us, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Resurrection, they're going to come up. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God, we which are alive and remain, the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For this corruptible, dead people must put on incorruption. This mortal, somebody that's alive, not dead yet, shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. See, oh grave, dead people, where is thy sting? Oh death, where is thy sting? Somebody alive, death can't get him. Oh grave, somebody's dead, can't hold him. Where is thy victory? The strength is the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who hath given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's it. You know what it is for us? You know what my hope is? In the end, it's just glory for me. Glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. You say, you? Yeah, me. Yeah, me. Why? Because I'm something? I'm so wonderful? No. Because I'm in Christ. And He's everything. And you know something? God Almighty is always happy with Him. And He's my Savior. And when God looks at me, He sees Him. He looks down here, He sees me in the merits of His Son. He doesn't see me pleading my case, telling Him how good I am, or you how wonderful I am, or trying to make people think that I can do something. You know who He sees? He sees His Son that's done it all. You know what my hope is? Going up there to be with Him one day. And my hope isn't just don't die till the Lord comes. Well, I never did like to be last in line. And the dead in Christ, your loved ones that have died and gone on to be with the Lord haven't lost anything. They're going to be ahead. They're going to come up first. So don't think they lost something. No, they're going to be in the rapture. In fact, they're gonna get their new body before you get yours, and I get mine if I'm alive. So dying and going to be with the Lord and this idea about being alive when the Lord comes, that's no special treat. I mean, you're gonna have to stand and watch everybody else get their resurrection body before you can go. So if anything, it's you getting at the end of the line. But up we're gonna go, and we're gonna meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, when you meet the Lord in the air, that's when the judgment seat of Christ is gonna take place. Come back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Make it chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? When we go up here, we're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a time called the judgment seat of Christ. Our sin and our sins have been judged back here. You'll never face them again. God took care of them when He dealt with your Savior. But your Christian life in here, as a soldier and as a son and as a servant, is going to be reviewed, and God's going to reward you for the work you did in here on the basis of His grace. You say, but yeah, but that's going to be something. He says over here, He says, it's God that worketh in you, both to will and do His good pleasure. You know where God works today? In the church, the body of Christ. God isn't out there today trying to move coal fronts. God isn't out there today trying to keep cars and trucks from running over people. God isn't out there trying to adjust the balance on your checkbook. God Almighty is in the church, the body of Christ, working in you, both to will and do His good pleasure. You get up there to judgment seat of Christ, and God's going to review your activity. He's going to review your works. He's going to review the doctrine you've stored up in your soul and what that doctrine has motivated you to do. And anything that abides the test of the Word of God up there, anything that abides the test of the Word of God rightly divided, is going to get a reward. But you know something? When you get that reward, you know what it's going to be? God's going to reward you for something He did in you. You say, well, that's not right. Oh, yeah, that's grace. That's God doing for you what you couldn't do for yourself and giving you something you didn't deserve when you didn't deserve it. And that reward's going to have to do with positions of authority and rank and rulership. Just like the nation Israel is going to restore his authority in the earth here, the body of Christ is going to restore his authority in the heavenly places over the angelic realm, and we're going to do the business of God throughout the heavenly places through all eternity. And in that day, when that happens, Jesus Christ is going to be head of things in heaven and things in the earth. And you know what God's purpose is? To make everything in all the universe center in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful, isn't it? I wonder what your life centers in today. Does your life center in the one person that God Almighty is determined for all things in all the universe to center in? How about it? Or does your life center in some little insignificant little peon like you or me? Some human. Some idea that some human developed. The Bible says that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know what you find in Christ? You find everything you're trying to find everywhere else. Everything modern science and education and religion is looking for, you get the moment you trust Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, I want to live forever. You get it. Somebody says, well, I don't ever want to get sick again. You get it. Somebody says, I want to have a body that doesn't wrinkle and doesn't get old, doesn't get tired. You get it. You say, I want my sins forgiven. You get it. What you want, you get it in Him. That's wonderful, you know that? And it's a gift. You know how you get it? You get it by trusting what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. There isn't any other way. What's our hope? It's to go be with Him. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, He says that He's going to present us to God. He will go from here to be presented to God the Father, and then to fill up will be His fullness that filleth all in all. God the Father will take us, and on the basis of the capacity of the doctrine we've built in us and understanding of what God's doing now, He'll give us positions out there to shine, and in the ages to come, He'll show forth the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, God Almighty's intention is to make His Son the center of the whole universe. I trust today that He's the center of your life. If He isn't, He can be. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you too can have this hope. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, A Panoramic View of the Program of God. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 126. That's tape offer number 126. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad that you've been with us today. We trust our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until next time when we meet for another message of grace.